You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the third hour of Up North News. It's Tuesday, September 6th. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I'm Pat Kreitlow, Luke Mathers here as well. And coming up in a bit, Luann Byrd, candidate for Assembly, running for an open seat in southeastern Wisconsin. Labor Day was, the whole weekend was picture perfect by and large across Wisconsin, except over Luke's head, where he was camping on Door County and was a little black rain cloud, but survived and is here to tell us that camping is all right. This was so different for me. Most holiday weekends were making some joke about God hating campers because it's usually terrible weather and you only had that for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. My dad was talking about it over and over again, how he's like, this is probably the best weather we've ever had. And my folks don't camp in tents. They're a little bit older now, and the campground that we go to, we don't go to the state parks anymore because those get pretty crowded. And we found this kind of, it's a private campsite, but it's up near Raleigh's Bay, and they have along one row of the campground and a ton of different RV spots for tents. And they have some cabins too, but they have these yurts, and there's 6 yurts that go along one of the paths in the campsite. And my family, my mom's extended family, she's one of 8, 22 grandchildren on my mom's side. And so her and her siblings each pretty much rent a yurt. And my family's kind of almost taken over now, though, because my sister's got one, too, because she's got 2 young kids.
Now, yurt is just kind of like a wooden igloo, right? It's just kind of a small round thing that's got a hole in the top. What?
It's a
school me on yurts.
So it's got like a wooden structure to it, but it's just a canvas draped tent around it, but there's bunk beds inside. There's 2 sets of bunk beds. There's like a fan at the top, and that's kind of got, and there's different ways to aerate it, and they actually have little heaters in them too. And so if it gets cold, my parents and all of my aunts and uncles can turn on the heaters if it's bad outside. But they're nice. There's good airflow. You're sleeping on not the best little like kind of mattresses, but you got your sleeping bag still, and you can bring more matting if you need. And so
is there a water park there?
No, nothing like that.
Exercise room?
No.
I'm sure they don't have the hot breakfast buffet.
No, none of that. There's a coffee
stand. They have turn down service, yes?
No, none of that laundry. Either. Oh. No, there's laundry. There's laundry, but you got to do it yourself. And so that's where my folks stay in the yurt, though. I'm the only one out of my 3 siblings. I was the only one in a tent. So they all found Eagle Scout.
They wouldn't let you in there.
No,
both
my brothers are Eagle Scouts too, and they were inside the yurts, and they have been. And I get the campsite right across from my parents' yurt, and that's where I camp, and me and my fiance and our dog, and we enjoy it. And I don't need a yurt. I've slept in them before throughout high school and stuff when I was with my parents, but we've been going to that campsite now for 15 years. So it's.
I don't need a yurt.
No, I don't. Maybe that is a great slogan for the side of the mug. Up North News, I don't need no yurt.
Jeez. So it was Labor Day. It was great weather for a lot of the Labor Day picnics, parades, festivals that went on to do a couple of things. Everybody knows about the one, and that is recognizing and showing appreciation for the people who long ago fought and in some cases died, for better working conditions for American workers. But also, and I really want to make sure this continues to get noted, that there are issues that are still going on that matter to workers in America and here in Wisconsin. Down in Racine, workers at CNH are still on strike. The company brought in scabs. They're refusing to keep the workers' health insurance coverage going. So the strike pay that they're getting from the union is basically being eaten up in new health insurance premiums. You have nurses at UW Health, University of Wisconsin Hospitals, who continue being opposed by their employer about recognizing their union representation, using Scott Walker's Act 10 as a flimsy excuse. You have some good news that Raven Software in Middleton, a great big video game supplier, formed a union. Pabst Theater Group did the same thing. Collectivo and Starbucks have had mixed success, but some successes in organizing their employees. We just have this tendency on Labor Day to lionize the dead, even though they were they were villainized in real life. It's kind of reminds me of Martin Luther King. He's now seen as an icon, but in polling before his murder, he was the most hated public figure in America. The same is true for these workers whose lives were lost in workplace accidents or the fight to have better workplaces. We honored them on Monday, but they were not universally loved at the time. They were seen as troublemakers, and we should just trust the bosses to do their best because a bad job is better than no job at all, is what we are told. And same goes for all these workers now at CNH and UW Health and elsewhere, against people who have the audacity to expect better than to be asked to work multiple double doubles or pee into jars instead of getting bathroom breaks, and watching top executives get the lion's share of rewards for the work that was done on the front lines. So I just wanted to make sure that this is not a one-off on Labor Day, that it is Labor Day when any one of us faces a hostile workplace or an unsafe job site or wages that keep you close to the poverty line, or crazy work shift calendars that give you no predictable time with your kids and your family. There is a direct line from Labor Day to Election Day. We need more people to be mindful of that in November, being asked to remember, who do you stand with? And it should be the people that we've honored in the past and the present on Labor Day. Lou Ann Bird, candidate for Wisconsin State Assembly, joins us right after this. You're up north. The very first song requested by our next guest, Lou Ann Bird, who's a candidate for State Assembly in the 84th District, and she joins us now. Lou Ann, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners.
It is fair to say, between your musical choices and the things I'm seeing about your biography, that nobody's going to accuse you of being a shrinking violet in this race.
No, you don't mess with Grandma Lou.
Grandma Lou was singing during the commercial break to make sure we knew which songs that she wanted. So Lou, let's have a little background on you first. Where you grew up, what you did, the things that eventually led you to the point in life of wanting to be in a race like this. What's your story?
Well, I was raised to be a stay-at-home mom, and I was found Mr. Right. And then after we had two kids, he was paralyzed in a construction accident. And that was in 1998, days before the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act laws were signed. And our five-year-old daughter was starting school and couldn't get in. Well, actually, yeah, they had an event and everybody else was downstairs and we were upstairs on the playground. And that was unacceptable to me. So then I worked with the school district, worked with the communities. It took years, but we got all the schools wheelchair accessible. And then it appeared that pain was going to be a struggle for my husband. So I ended up going back to school, getting a couple of degrees. Also, we needed sewer in our neighborhood. The septics were failing. So I got on the commission and helped get a sewer in our neighborhood. And then it didn't look like he was gonna, like I said, go back to work anytime soon. So I went back to school, did a couple of really great jobs, including being the executive director of the League of Women Voters, where I was a lobbyist in Madison for about a year. I was very unhappy with what I saw going on down there. So I thought I could do a better job than my 12-year incumbent. So I quit that job and ran for public office back in that day and lost. But then it was a great experience. So spinning forward, I did end up on the school board in Oshkosh, did school board consulting for a number of years. I moved to Wauwatosa to be with my children who are in, not Wauwatosa, I moved to Hales Corners. My kids are in Wauwatosa. Grandparents want to be by their grandkids, and she started having kids. So we ended up here in Hales Corners because this is where the wheelchair house was. I ended up on the school board here and found out, hey, the schools are not up to ADA code. So once again, we had to work with the community. We had to, I was a little madder this time because it's been 30 years and I thought the community should have taken care of this a long time ago. But anyway, that's what I do. And that's what led me here.
So it's a story that I feel like I've heard all the time. you said at one point the word lobbyist, and you could feel some people going, oh, a lobbyist with a capital L. And I always like to remind people, there are so many other lobbyists with a lowercase L, people who never thought they would be involved, never take any action, and would maybe grouse about something. And there's nothing I see in your bio that was grousing only. It was grousing and saying, well, somebody's got to take some action here.
What was I going to do with a paralyzed husband, two children, and my husband wanted to be involved in my kids' school? I'm going to tell you, though, it wasn't like an overnight thing. Oh, I know how to fix this. I joined the League of Women Voters. They know how to take action. I learned effective skills. You go to the school board, you ask for a committee to get formed. We did that. The committee was representative of all kinds of groups of disability, parents, kid, you know, the whole, the DVR and United Cerebral Palsy, all of us at the table working on that issue. So I learned how to work with people, bring people together. And really, Pat, for the first 2 years, 2 to 3 years when Phil was paralyzed, I was miserable because I kept asking the question, do they have to make them accessible for the parents? Do they have to? And one of the schools was a polling place. And eventually I stopped asking that question. And I started asking, how can I help them make things accessible? And that's when life changed. And that's when I became energized. And yeah, no more grousing. It's time now to take action. And this is, you have to compromise. You have to communicate. You have to be persistent. You have to be fiscally responsible. When we had the ADA committee, we prioritized. It was going to be where the kids were first, where we're doing construction second, and where parents were third. Well, we're never going to get to that third one. It was a big school district, and there were so, but we got everything taken care of in the second tier. You know, when we were already doing construction, that's when they would fix the building. So, yeah, that's what I learned, and that's what I'm hoping to get the voters in this district to understand and do themselves.
Your husband's a Vietnam veteran as well, yes, and yes. Again, certainly can't be anything but impressed with all that you've taken on, along with you know, caregiving for him.
That's right. He was in Vietnam. He's complicated because of his paralysis. He's paralyzed from the waist down. You wouldn't know it to talk to him. So he's inspiring to live with. And if he can get up and go and do the things over the last 30 years that he has done, including playing baseball with the kids, shooting hoops with the grandkids, racing around in our kitchen with little grandsons on their little bicycles, you know, he makes life work. And then I take care of him, you bet. And then we do have a nurse that helps me once in a while, and or every week now. And I just feel like that's what life is. It is taking care of people, we're here to serve, and that's what I do. And then his Vietnam experience, you know, when we got married, I didn't realize why he was having trouble sleeping at night. It took a while to figure that out. And his mom, when we got married, gave us all his Vietnam letters. And she said, you should read these letters because Phil came back a different person. And I did. I read those letters, but it really took a while to put together the impacts of war on him. So I advocate for him. We advocate for the Fisher House, which is a place at, when we moved here, another one of those things I did, we found out they were building a Fisher House right on the VA grounds, and there wasn't one. And I had stayed in one. Of course, Bill's been in the hospital a lot. And I had stayed in a Fisher House, knew what these things were, knew how important they were to veterans and their families. Because when your veteran is sick, and I have sure learned this, it's best to be there for him. And that's what the Fisher House allows you to do. It's a free place to stay when your veteran's in the hospital. So we started participating in the sausage run. The famous sausage is run for the Brewers, and the money goes to the Fisher House. It combines my husband's love of the Brewers with what, you know, the Fisher House. So we organize a team every year to raise money for the Fisher House. So yeah, it's my load is full, but you know, when I got the call to do this, Pat, it's very important now that we change the political culture, that I can bring those skills to Madison for the people in my district and in the state.
Well, let's come to that fork in the road then, because if this interview ended right now, you would be universally loved by 100% of the people who say, here's somebody that doesn't just say, why is this the way it is? How do we go about making it better? And that's something that we would want from anybody in our community. And take it from somebody who, as a longtime news anchor, felt, again, that kind of universally liked, but I came to that fork in the road of going into politics and declaring one path or the other. And suddenly it felt like 50% of the people didn't like me. You have come to a particular juncture in your life that is not just active in the community, but doing so in a political vein. To do that, to know that, you know, there are some people that are right away going to judge you one way or another for that choice you made, was no small step for you to make that choice.
Not at all, but I'm very happy to tell you that I am still loved and liked. And in large part, because I go in there with a big smile on my face and I say, hey, you got a chance to vote for somebody different. It's not about me. It is really about you. And I totally respect your decision, whichever way you go. But here's what's going on. We need more civility. We need to pull people together. We need to focus on issues and solve problems. And I'm so happy to tell you that the people are responding to me. I'll just tell you a quick story. Guy, now I talk about people not liking you. You got to look at yourself. Do I like them? And I do. I do. So I knock on the door and there's a guy with a Trump hat. He comes around the corner. I thought he wasn't home. He's got Trump hat on. And I'm like holding up my little flyer. I don't suppose you'd vote for a Democrat, would you? And I'm all smiles, you know, and we get to talking and he starts telling me what he likes about Trump, what he doesn't like. And I'm actually agreeing with him on the things, you know, I don't like how he acts. I don't like how things are either in Madison and in, you know, politics. It could be better. We could be more civil. And then I tell him about how I worked with my husband and how I take care of him and, you know, work with people, compromise. He finally says, oh, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And he's telling me about his life. Finally says, you know, Louis says, I can vote for you. And I said, well, Pat, Bill, that's great. And I start to walk away and I go, nobody's going to believe this. So I go back. I say, Bill, can I take a picture with you for my Facebook page? And he goes, sure. He puts his arms out. You flipped me. I mean, Pat, that's why I don't have half the people hating me. I have the most people saying, wow, it's great that you're running. And you know what? I want to be part of the change. It doesn't matter whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat. When we talk about gun control issues, I say I'm Second Amendment rights. Everybody at the doors is. I don't want to take your guns away. And that puts them at ease. Let's figure out how we can solve the problems. I'm not here to defund the police. I'm here to solve the problems we have with crime. And a part of Milwaukee is in my district. So I'm going to be at the table for the people with the people in my district. And I'm very excited about that. So yeah, I'm not worried about the 50%. I don't have that.
Luann Bird is here thinking that she's running for state assembly, but is about to be drafted to run the Democratic National Committee at the national level, because that's the kind of attitude that, you know, and frankly, any political party needs more of. But you did decide to run for assembly. And why was that?
Well, it was the very same feeling that I had when Phil was paralyzed those first couple of years and feeling miserable and unhappy. And, you know, so many times, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years, with the far right wing jumping in there. And what I feel is really threatening democracy with tinkering with our elections and false narratives. I mean, I was very upset. And then I get the call to run and I said yes. And I feel very energized, just like I did when I figured out not what can I do about this, but now it's like, well, how can I change it? That's where I'm at right now. I jumped in. I said, how can I make things better? And I'm excited. I'm energized. It was the right time for me. It's the right place. It's the right time and place for the people in my district and for supporters all around, all of you listeners. It's our time. People are fed up and tired with the politics, the division, and they want real action and they want it done in a civil way. We do agree on most issues. I'm ready to help solve them. Let's change the language and let's solve them.
And it is an open seat. This is the yes. Sarah Rodriguez seat, right?
Was Kuglich's seat.
Oh, okay.
And it was Republican. And now that was another hook. They call the Democrats, say it's 50-50. We can win this seat and we need to win this seat in order to protect the governor's veto, because they drew the lines in such a way that they could have a supermajority. And so I'm all in. You bet. If the Democratic committee needs me, I'm in. I'll do whatever I can to protect our democracy and make sure that people feel hope again about America. Yes.
Well, this makes sense then, because to have a candidate so positive is rare in some circles. So it makes sense that this is the rare district that is a toss-up, that is up for grabs because of the gerrymandering that has gone on. And that's got to make voters feel pretty excited that they know they can make a difference.
It does. At every door. That's why the song Revolution came to mind, because it's last night I did my neighborhood. I mean, originally I got all my signatures here, but we never really talk politics because it's been such an evil thing. And you know what? It's no longer with me an evil thing. And it puts everybody at ease. My neighbor put up an opponent's in the primary web, his yard sign. And I texted him that night. I still love you, Bob, you know, and you know, that's what we got to do. We've got to reach out and it's winnable.
We'll have more with Lou Ann Bird right after this. You're up, North.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Lou Ann Bird joins us, candidate for the 84th Assembly District. Lou Ann, welcome back. And tell folks where, describe the 84th District, where to find it.
It's in the southwest corner of Milwaukee County. We have Hales Corners, a portion of Greendale, most of Greenfield, and a slice of Milwaukee.
Okay. And this one, now your Republican opponent is Bob Donovan, which kind of confuses me a bit, because wasn't he just in the city of Milwaukee running for something?
Yes, he ran for the mayoral race and lost and got crushed, actually. Yeah. And he had been in Milwaukee for 20 years as an alderman. So then he said he could move out here and run for the assembly. He does care about Milwaukee, but, you know, it's pretty clear he wants to work for Milwaukee. And we are suburbs. We're urban and suburban, and that's not going to be enough for us.
Yeah.
We need someone who knows, who understands this district.
You travel the district every day. You tell me you actually travel to take your grandkids to school every morning.
I do every morning. The kids are 10, 8, and 5, and this is the first year they're all three in school full time. So grandma daycare has lost her day job. But I still go over there, and yes, it's just... they're wonderful kids, and I fill my bucket with the kids. I take care of them, and I take them to school. And then, go knock. Well, I got dogs. Sometimes I got to walk the dogs, you know, and then I got to check on my husband. Right before this, I had to go get the video set up. He's with the VA, you know, and so I have to, I take care of all those things. But there's plenty of time to go knock on doors, and that's what I do next. And Bob Donovan, by the way, is very well known because he's been in the news a lot in this area, so... It's gonna take work to win, and I got to make sure I get to as many doors as I can. And anybody that wants to support me can go to my website too, because we're gonna still need help. It's a challenge. He's well known.
Lou Ann Bird is LuannBird, LuannBird.com. I'm guessing you took some time off from doors long enough to go to Labor Fest yesterday in Milwaukee.
Oh, did I ever! I got to really be there to honor the workers that I hope to represent. I think they have not gotten a fair shot, and they need to be able to be represented by their unions. We need to get back to taking care of our workers. So very honored to be there. I've been endorsed by several unions, and I got to march with Mandela Barnes, who is a very real person that we really need in the assembly. He will take care of our social security and Medicare. I talk to seniors that are worried about that, because Ron Johnson has put it on the table, and nobody wants that on the table, not at our age. That's not good. So then I got to listen to President Biden's fiery speech yesterday, and he was great. He just laid it on the line that, you know, we are running our democracy. The soul of the nation is still up for grabs, and we need to work as hard as we can to win all of these seats and bring democracy, you know, protect democracy. So it was great. Great day.
I think that it's important to note that you, like the president, are noting that the people who are dangerously disruptive are a small segment of the population. Right on your website, it says a small fringe group of people are undermining our democracy by creating mistrust in our elections and suppressing the rights of voters. And you can do both. You can be a hopeful, positive person while at the same time calling out that small amount who really poses a great threat to the country.
Absolutely. And the way we do that is by getting out there and meeting the people and listening. So it's not about me talking to people. It's about me knocking on those doors and listening, and then sharing the parts that we need to work on together. It's not about what I'm going to do for them. It's what we need to work on. And why are we spending $1 million on a false narrative that the election was stolen when it wasn't? So yes, and people agree, restoring our trust in election systems. I'm all for getting rid of any fraud, but I'm a 30-year member of the League of Women Voters, and we watch those systems, and I know they work. And we're spending way too much money on lawsuits and trying to dismantle a system or change it, like not allowing me to take my husband's ballot to the mailbox. I hear about that at the doors. You know, people want to have a secure vote, feel good about their vote. They feel better about their vote after they've met me and they know they got someone to vote for that's, you know, going to work for that. But yeah, our democracy is threatened and we need to make sure that we like lift the curtain so people know.
But how frustrating that had to be during that interim when the state Supreme Court, when the right-wing justices on there struck down drop boxes for terrible reasons to put it gently. But because of that decision, it threw into doubt what disabled voters could or couldn't do to make sure that their ballot counts. Now, since that time, a federal judge last week said, you know, federal law takes precedent and disabled voters can have assistance. But what did that tell you that for those few weeks there, the state of voting rights for disabled voters was somewhat in doubt?
Well, after fighting for ADA rights for 32 years, my heart sunk. And by the way, I've never lost a single fight in 32 years. Every ADA fight I have won because we do have the law on our side. So to almost all of a sudden have to go back and fighting for that, it's just unacceptable. And that's why I'm so glad I'm running, because at least I'm doing something about that. I felt the same way when the Roe v. Wade got overturned and I had 50 years of a right, of a freedom to choose my health care taken away, just like that. And okay, maybe it comes back to the states, but then in Wisconsin, my opponent, Bob Donovan, makes that his top thing. We're going to protect that unborn life. We're not going to care about the women. And I care about every unborn life. I care about the women. It is a decision between a woman and her God. So my heart sinks when these things are oppressing us in this day and age. It just shouldn't be. But the good news is we got to, you know, take that frustration and anger and we got to do something about it. And that might be a good segue into our bird songs thing. What, you know, but I'll let you finish with your questions first.
Oh, no. You got this transition here. You tell us about bird songs.
Well, you know, when you're upset and you're unhappy, it just feels good to take action. So there's, you know, plenty of things coming up in our campaign, like letter, postcard writing. All of a sudden, we got 400 of those out in a few seconds and people are, you know, coming, calling us up. They all want to take action in their own way, whatever works. And no matter where they live, it doesn't matter. Just feeling good about that. There's a musician that got involved in my campaign right from the very start on my kitchen cabinet, Chris Porterfield and Field Report. He got impressed with my campaign. He's impressed with the message. It gave him hope. And he says to me, you know, what more could I do for you, Luann? Like, what more can we do to get you elected? And then he came up with the concept of, well, let's hold concerts. He's got musical talent. He can use that to get me elected. So he gets his music friends all on board in the Milwaukee area and beyond. I've never heard of Bon Iver. Hope I said that right. You know, he donated to my campaign. He's getting these musicians on board to support me, to get the word out about me, to give people another place to take action. So we're having bird songs concerts in and around the district as a way to bring people together. And all those musicians are donating their time and their talent, and it's giving them hope. And they have their own little mission statement that they put up there. It's musicians, citizens and musicians amplifying civility through music and action. Yeah, isn't that what democracy is all about? So you guys can go to my website, find out about those bird songs concerts.
Or if you find her on Facebook, you'll see a poster there that includes Martha Cannon and Joe Crockett. And it'll take place in Greenfield this Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m.
And I will just put a date out there. Everyone should put on their calendar if you can make it. October 20th is sort of the grand finale, and that's going to be at the Cooperage in downtown Milwaukee. That's going to be a big venue. and it'll be getting very close to the end, and our energy is going to be there, and it'll give you again a place that if you want to take action and listen to good music. I don't know about you, but music is big to me. And if you think back to the Vietnam War, musicians had a great impact in ending that war. So it gives me hope that maybe that's what can help swing our nation back is music. You know, it's going to play a role.
I'll tell you one of my favorite days ever. Two of my favorite days campaigning involved music. One was somebody that had live music at their fundraiser at their place out in the country. And it was just an amazing day. And I would have liked to have, you know, bottled that and had more of that. And then the other involving music, when I was probably at my most stressed running the first time for state Senate, and I'm in Stanley, if I'm not mistaken, and heading to it's a hot day. I think I'm just going to stop in and get a Coke or water or something. And instead there's a polka band in there, and some folks were dancing, and a couple of people recognized me and hauled me out to the dance floor to, do a couple of polkas. And that was, again, you can't beat a musical interlude on the campaign trail.
You can't. And the other part about this one, though, was this musician from Boone Forest, JP, comes marching in my, waltzing in my backyard with his guitar on his back and his like childlike eyes, like, I'm here, what can I do? And then he starts playing and singing, and it really did melt my heart, and that is what, to see them get excited is just as exciting, for me as, it's like, yeah, we're in this together. We can do that. We can flip this seat.
We're talking to Lou Enberg, candidate for assembly in the 84th district. All your time with the League of Women Voters, and I know you're not speaking for them, but speaking as somebody who worked with the League of Women Voters for all these years, I could tell that there was a change in politics back in 2010 when a surprising and disheartening number of Republican candidates simply turned down invitations by the League of Women Voters to take part in public forums, choosing instead to not appear on stage with their Democratic opponents. They knew it was going to be a good Republican year, so there's no reason to debate. And it's something that has continued to the point where there's more candidates than ever that either don't debate or stay within their own media bubble. As somebody that was part of the League of Women Voters for all those years, that had to be downright crushing to membership when you're trying to be an impartial organization, bringing the views of all candidates to the public and being rebuffed. And now in the Trump age, even referred to as, fake or other things that are made up about you, that had to have really hit hard for a lot of the people who've worked so hard with the League of Women Voters.
It does. It still happens. It hurts. It hurts a lot because we care. It tells us that it's not about the people. They're not running to serve people. They're running to serve a party. Because if they cared about the voters, they would participate as much as they can in getting the word out about who they are and what they represent, and they would listen more. And that is very discouraging to me as a member of the League, as well as the policies that are threatening, the whole voting rights thing and registration and doing what they can. They've been making that harder and harder and harder. So there's lots of things as a member of the League that have just about broken my heart, because we've worked hard. We've worked hard to make sure that people are informed. Doesn't matter which party. Now, they did, League Women Don't Give Up. They pivoted. They're doing more surveys. You can go online and look at positions. And we still continue to invite people because that's what we do. And we're not going to quit.
You will, of course, be running on the same ballot as Governor Tony Evers, who continues even today to make more proposals about public education and strengthening it. And despite the fact that it seems that it's going to be a close gubernatorial race, it's also, I'm sure, a priority of yours that the public schools that Governor Evers has been talking about so much are a priority for you as well.
Well, that's a real strength in my campaign, and that's the difference between me and Bob. He's got no education background. I served on my school board for 10 years total. I did consulting with school boards in two states, by the way, in Wisconsin and in Montgomery, Alabama. And I was working with a multi-state research project on what is it that leaders can do to raise the bar for kids. So now in this district, I'm so with Tony. I'm so glad we've got to work on education, because we can talk about gun control, right? And we can talk about all the mental health issues, but and we can talk about, you know, the economy, but if we don't get the kids to, in Milwaukee particularly, to get an education, to graduate from high school, to have the skills, the technical skills, to, you know, be able to be self-sufficient, we're never going to solve all those problems. And I am so strong on that. And I was excited to see a portion of Milwaukee. I'm like, I'm going to be at the table with the leaders of Milwaukee working on MPS, because I really support teachers. We support teachers. We're not going to dismantle the public education system. We're going to work both with the private where the kids are, and we're going to strengthen that, the schools for our kids.
Lou Ann Bird, what a pleasure. Thank you so much, and best wishes to you.
Oh, thank you, Pat. Bird is the word.
Have a great day. We'll be back to wrap things up after this. You're up north. Now let's wrap things up for this Tuesday morning, day after Labor Day, for Up North News, which will move rather quickly into new territory on this fine radio station in Wausau, and along with others throughout the burgeoning civic media empire. We have been very fortunate to not only have this opportunity to visit with you in the mornings, but to have a colleague in the afternoons in Kristen Bry, who has a show, As Goes Wisconsin, named after her, I shouldn't say wildly successful. It is to me and all of her fans, but I mean, we haven't made her a household name yet, but we're sure as hell working on it. As Goes Wisconsin was something that she started to have videos that provided some civic education, took a point of view, but did so in a way that was funny. And they were a joy to begin sharing at Up North News and then beyond. And then opportunities came up to enable her to do more, including a couple of stints on radio. And now she has a radio show here that I would have loved to have just transitioned right into, but ours is 8 to 11 and hers is noon to 2. But not anymore. Because I don't know, Luke, do you have something to do with this to make her work longer? Because now she's getting a 3-hour block just like ours.
She wanted to ease herself into the 3 hours. So I'm not going to say, I don't know the exact reason. I know that it started out as 2 with kind of a plan to evolve to 3. And over the last 2 months, she's had a lot of success in the 2 hours from noon to 2. And so she is taking on another hour and doing 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Monday through Friday on Bull Falls Radio on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 in Waukesha, and I believe in
homegrown radio.
Yeah, our homegrown radio affiliate in Wisconsin Rapids. And there's more coming. I can tell you we got some paperwork approved over the weekend, and so we're going to have some more announcements this week you're going to want to stay tuned for.
I'm going to want to stay tuned for those because you have all the inside scoop on this. So why don't you break the news to me when it comes up here?
Okay? Like how I played Sheepshead over the weekend with my uncles, I keep my cards close to my chest.
Wait, you play Sheepshead too?
Sheepshead, euchre, cribbage. Come on, find me in Wisconsin, and you're going to usually find me playing one of the Wisconsin card games.
You should be running for governor at this point. I mean, the Eagle Scout and the Door County Camping, and now I mean, cribbage is what we play every night up here on Lake Wissota. So this is, and of course, I married into a family that spends all Sunday afternoon playing Sheepshead, Jack of Diamonds partner, and it's something I tried to play for a while. I finally gave up when my nieces, who at the time were like 5 and 7, were mocking me for some of my moves because I only play like once or twice a year.
What are you doing leading Trump back when you're not the partner? What are you doing?
Exactly. Which is still like speaking Latin to me after all these years. But, you know, you hear that enough times and you say, you know, I'm going to go watch the football game instead. You guys go ahead and lose a nickel here and a nickel there. I've not asked if Kristen is a card player, cribbage or Sheepshead or otherwise, but she certainly has enough to say about the rest of Wisconsin and the news. And so it's great that she is finally getting that expansion 3 hours. I'm sure under the guise of if Kreitlow can do it, I mean, how hard can it be?
I wasn't gonna say that, but I mean, yeah, kind of that guy's too.
You didn't have to. You were clearly going to go there, and I just had to beat you to it. Tomorrow on the show, the return of Kirk Bangstad after several weeks away for his summer vacation. He and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, my old compadres on the Wednesday night radio show, now move their shtick to Wednesday mornings. And so every Wednesday morning during this, the 10 a.m. hour, we'll be able to talk about issues in the news, especially how they affect folks up north. With Kurt talking, no doubt, about the Minocqua Brewing Company and the things that he's doing both in the beer-making end of things and the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC that is busy on the political side of things. And if you're not familiar with that, I'm sure you're thinking, wait a minute, a brewery that has a Super PAC? Yeah, and I'm frankly surprised more places like that don't. He looked at all of the Super PACs like the Truth Wisconsin one formed by the billionaires, you know, to benefit Ron Johnson, and thinking, well, why should they be the only ones? If they're going to bend the rules, he calls his super PAC Dark Money for Good, you know, because people can contribute anonymously, basically. Corporate money can come into it, and they can't spend directly on a candidate. They spend on quote unquote public messaging. Excuse me, which is what, you know, is happening for Ron Johnson. So, you know, Kirk's thinking, why not me?
Yeah, and he's got a brand new beer out, too, with the new Mandela Mash. And that's been an interesting... I have not gone looking for it yet here in Madison, but I need to because I believe it has hit shelves in my neck of the woods. So I don't know if you've found it up by you, Pat, or not yet, but that one is out there.
I have not gone looking for that yet. So we have this interesting mix of a brewer who decided to form a super PAC and an OBGYN who decided she wanted to be a part-time radio host. And so that's how we ended up with Dr. Kristen Lyerly on, you know, after her run for assembly in 2020. And I will be looking forward to an update as well on her own little camping trip. It was going to be up in the Clear Lake area. I think I saw a couple of photos on Facebook, but not recently. So I'm not sure if it went smoothly all the way. You know, because sometimes, you know, suddenly people kind of like, you know, there's radio silence on Facebook and you go, uh-oh.
Just unplugging for the Labor Day week. That's about it.
Yeah, let's hope it's that. You know, what you don't want is like, you know, days go by and the very next picture is either, you know, taken in front of divorce court or a military school where you're dropping off the kids or something like that. So I hope it went well. That's all I can say about that. Courier Newsroom National Correspondent Kiva Keel will join us on Thursday to talk about national notes in the news. And then on Friday, Mark Jacob, former editor of the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, will be along on another Dad Shirt Friday. We might have to make it Sweatshirt Friday, too, because, you know, dads wear sweatshirts. They wear them all the time. And now, is that a brand new one, or is that one that you wear while you're up in Door County?
No, I was eyeing it up for numerous years now, and I was like, you know what, I need a new crew neck, so I'm gonna go get it. And I stopped into the trolley tours building and saw my old family friend and purchased the sweatshirt from him. Didn't get to go on a trolley ride this year, but it's always a good time when you're up there. And you want to, if you've never been to Door County before, highly recommend it because it's an excellent tour across the peninsula.
All right. Brewers won in Colorado yesterday. Two more games against the Rockies. Then Thursday, a true doubleheader against the San Francisco Giants. And then the homestand continues into the weekend where I'm attending at least one of those games. So, you know, maybe I come out of there with a new sweatshirt too. We'll compare which tourist place charges more for their sweatshirts for that $10 of fabric. How much more than $10 are you paying to get that name on there? For the answer to this and many more questions, tune in to the Wednesday episode of Up North News. For Luke Mathers, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.